government. Nunez said Twitter was guilty of, quote, knowingly hosting and monetizing content that is clearly abusive, hateful, and defamatory, providing both a voice and financial incentive to the defamers, thereby facilitating defamation on its platform. The lawsuit alleged defamation, conspiracy, and negligence, as well as violations of the state's prohibition against insulting words, effectively fighting words, that tend toward violence and breach of the peace. The complaint sought not only damages, but also an injunction compelling Twitter to turn over the identities behind numerous accounts he said harassed and defamed him. Quote, Twitter is a machine, Nunez personal attorney Stephen S. Biss told Fox News. It is a modern-day Tammany Hall. Congressman Nunez intends to hold Twitter fully accountable for its abusive behavior and misconduct. Now, you might think this is a butthurt representative who doesn't like that people are saying bad things about him.
Well, actually, my first instinct was, when he filed this lawsuit, did he have his binky or his bottle?
Although federal law ordinarily exempts services like Twitter from defamation liability at all levels, Nunez's suit said the platform has taken such an active role in curating and banning content, as opposed to merely hosting it, that it should face liability like any other organization that defames. I believe it is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, passed in 1998, that...
The biggest account is a cow.
That exempts... platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, from liability for the content that they post. Okay?
Amen.
So this enabled these companies to grow. Because basically, I can go on Facebook all day long and say libelous things about Shea Spillane. And
you say that like you don't already.
And Shea Spillane cannot sue. She can sue me for using that platform to spread libel, but she cannot sue Facebook.
I'd probably just kick you in the shins.
What Representative Nunez is arguing is that because these platforms are now engaged in so much moderation, that they are no longer simply a platform. You are no longer a service provider. You are now a publisher by virtue of your moderation, which is equivalent to editing, and that you are imposing a certain point of view across your platform.
Okay, so by that logic... Mexico should sue Twitter for all the things they allow Donald Trump to say. I do really need you to tell me, though, was it his binky or his bottle that was in his mouth when he filed this suit? I'm trying to picture.
Well, here we go. The complaint also named specific Twitter accounts that spread allegedly defamatory material about Nunez.
They're pretty funny.
One defendant, identified as Liz Mayer, reportedly published tweets that implied Nunez colluded with prostitutes and cocaine addicts, that Nunez does cocaine, and that Nunez was involved in a Russian money laundering front, according to Nunez lawyers.
Whatever, everyone in Washington does cocaine. That's not defamation. That's just stating facts.
The complaint quoted a June 22nd, 2018 tweet from Mayer that implied Nunez invested in a winery that allegedly used underage hookers to solicit investment. Mayer did not respond to Fox News' request for comment.
That's probably true. Like, that's the thing, is that it's like, it's...
The complaint also named Devin Nunez's mom, a person who, with Twitter's consent, hijacked Nunez's name, falsely impersonated Nunez's mother, and created and maintained an account on Twitter for the sole purpose of attacking, defaming, disparaging, and demeaning Nunez. Nunez lawyers wrote in her endless barrage of tweets, Devin Nunez's mom maliciously attacked every aspect of Nunez's character, honesty, integrity, ethics, and fitness to perform his duties as a United States congressman. One tweet from the account cited by the complaint contained a crude drawing of Russian President Vladimir Putin, President Trump, and Nunez in a physically linked symbiotic arrangement, like the characters in the horror film The Human Centipede.
See, the more you talk about this, the more I just want to high-five all of these people. My favorite one, like I said, my favorite one's the cow, where he says, the cow says, let's keep the momentum going and hold him accountable. And it's just a cow staring at the screen. And then it's hashtag the movement. And, oh, by the way, that's at Devin Cow.
As of Monday afternoon, the @DevinNunez_mom account, this was this past Monday, was suspended by Twitter when Fox News tried to access it. The complaint stated that Twitter only suspended the account in 2019 after Nunez's real mother complained. Twitter permitted @DevinNunez_mom, for instance, to tweet and retweet with impunity throughout 2018. Now, yes, and they bring up Devin Nunez's cow, too. Here's the thing. If you are a public figure, you are going to be subject to some of this.
This is the bed that you're lying.
It's going to happen. The complaint also charged that Twitter shadow banned Nunez in 2018 in order to restrict his free speech and to amplify the abusive and hateful content published and republished by Mayor Devin Nunez's mom and other accounts. The shadow banning was intentional. It was calculated to interfere with and influence the federal election and interfere with Nunez's ongoing investigation as a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Twitter's actions affected the election results. The combination of the shadow ban and Twitter's refusal to enforce its terms and rules in the face of clear and persistent abuse and hateful conduct caused Nunez to lose support amongst voters.
Saying that is equivalent to saying that all of the, I probably at this point have 1,000 tweets or Facebook posts or what, or Instagram posts or what have you, against Donald Trump. So if he loses the next election, that's saying I could get sued.
It depends. Are you making libelous statements? But
it's, no, because you don't have to.
Okay.
But at the same time, I mean, that's what all this stupid social media crap is about. I mean, there's an account that's Michael Jackson's ghost.
Yeah.
Like, there's a comedian we both know how he got his big break was by starting an account called Modern Seinfeld.
Yes.
I didn't see Jerry Seinfeld or Larry David come out and sue him because he was... It's. I know they're not completely the same animal, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, there's so much stuff that everyone says everything about everyone everywhere on social media. It's to try to say like, oh, this is libelous for every person that has some parody account about this dum-dum.
When you,
there's somebody who is just like we were just talking about with the whole McCain thing.
When you are accusing,
for every person who is being mad at Donald Trump for saying terrible things about John McCain, there's a person who is harassing his widow. Like, it's, you can't, I mean, it is, I know it's difficult and it's a new animal to try to regulate the internet or social media or the internet in general, social media specifically. But at the same time, I mean, the whole concept under which it's originated is just basically for all of us to say what we're thinking, whether it's, I mean, it's not like, I don't think any criminal charges were brought against him. It's not like any statement that was false about him resulted in, like, I could spend every day for the next year posting on every social media platform I'm on, my co-host Eric Gary is a pee-pee head and he's not actually bald. He shaves it every day. I could do that every single day for a year. And
no, you can't, actually, because I am going to sue you for libel.
But that's the thing, is unless something huge happens to you, it's, I mean,
actually, if something huge happens to me, that makes it harder for me to sue you. I am going to sue you for libel because you are perpetuating a false statement, a demonstrably false statement.
No, but you do shave your head every day.
I do not shave my head.
And you are a pee-pee head.
I am, in fact, bald. All right, so if you...
I know, I just wanted you to admit that on the radio.
But that is a demonstrably false statement, as is Devin Nunez cavorts with underage hookers. Devin Nunez is involved in this winery that employs underage hookers. That is a libelous statement.
But, okay, I could see... See, this is where... Like I said, this is where things with the internet and with social media gets tricky. Because I have said many a thing on the internet, all of us have said many a thing on the internet that probably isn't true, but you just say it.
No, not over here. Go look, Derek.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Your halo's not polished.
Go look through my Facebook history. You have access to it. Go look at my Twitter account. Here at Wow, at Twitter.
But I'm not saying, okay, I'm not saying like people go out, like that everyone, I don't go out and attack people, especially strangers, or I guess.
I don't attack people
I don't attack
at all.
Anybody. But no, my point is that, I mean, I could see, here's the difference. Larry Weirdo makes a cow Twitter account talking about this senator.
It's fine. If you're
he is Larry Weirdo. He's a cow.
If you're poking fun, I got no problem.
But
with
that's what I'm saying is that it's inherent that if it's something so absurd as pretending to be this dude's mother or be his cow or something like that, it's not the same thing as Ted Koppel. I don't know why that's the first thing that pops into my head, but it's not the same thing as like Larry King saying that. It's not the same thing. Obviously, the inherent, like, it's already built in that this is all kind of nonsense, you know?
No.
You can't be like, this cow is talking smack. Like, that is absurd.
That's where you were dead wrong about this.
No, that's where I'm
That's where you were dead wrong about this. No. No.
I don't think I've ever said alive right in my entire life. Is that, that's if, not a thing. It should be, because dead wrong, alive.
I'm not talking about the cow, okay? If somebody wants to create a parody account and say, I'm his cow and I'm disappointed or what, fine, you go, have fun. That's not what he's really upset about here. He is upset about people publishing libelous comments. He is upset about the fact that when he tries to respond to this, Twitter demotes his responses. Twitter has limited his ability to communicate with his constituents. They have suppressed his tweets, while at the same time, they have amplified voices critical of him and refused to block accounts that are obviously harassing him and obviously presenting libelous material.
But okay, let me make my points from a different angle.
Hopefully this one is better. Because your last one is not holding up.
I'm going to throw my empty Diet Coke bottle.
Throw anything you want at me.
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Okay.
Violence is the last refuge of an Irishman.
So just anyone that says, okay, so Mr. Joe Nobody, even if it is his, even if they're going by their real name, even if they're fully accurately representing themselves, says something bad about him. Or I'll take him out of it. Okay. For the sake of you getting a little giggly delight out of this, Joe Somebody says something bad about Barack Obama.
Okay.
Sarah Silverman says something bad about Barack Obama. Sarah Silverman saying something bad about Barack Obama is, I mean, I'm not like, I'm not that malleable, but it might give me a little, huh, because I respect this person, and this is a celebrity, and this is somebody I look up to. Joe, whatever his name is, saying something bad about Barack Obama, not even going to blink.
Kathy Griffin and Roseanne Barr would like to have a talk with you.
I'm yielding my empty Diet Coke.
I'm just pointing out two prominent examples of people who you may respect, people who you may admire, people who are celebrities.
Oh, no, I don't respect either of them.
Who have crossed the line in different ways.
Oh, no, and I'm not, see, you're missing my point. My point is that he's getting all bent out of shape about someone who lives in, like, a suburb of Rancho Cucamonga. Like, this is his basis of, oh, this is really affecting. If that is really affecting your polling and your polling stance.
Of course it is.
Well, then have a stronger campaign. Then have a stronger campaign. Have a stronger platform. Have a stronger angle.
Come out.
Don't pussyfoot around being like, oh, this is libel. I should just attack all these people.
Well, hang on a second.
Come out and say, these people are wrong, and I know that all of you know. Like,
how are you? Shay, time out. I have to get a word in edgewise here. Sorry. How is he supposed to do any of those things when Twitter suppresses his tweets and amplifies the tweets against him? How does he do that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that Twitter was the only way to communicate with other human beings.
It is.
Really? Because I barely tweet and I'm on Facebook and Instagram.
Do you think Facebook and Instagram are any different than Twitter in this regard?
In terms of, I don't think there's a reason that we're just talking about Instagram. I'm sorry, just talking about Twitter.
Well, it's because Twitter's the one that he's chosen to
and
sue.
And not saying all social media platforms, because yes, I think they are different. They're owned by different people. They have different terms of service. They have different terms of privacy. They have different terms of security. Each site is very, very different.
As somebody who works in this industry, I'm going to tell you that you were incorrect about that.
I'm not. As somebody who works at... What do I just dance around in front of the microphone?
Are you a digital marketing professional who engages with these platforms on a daily basis?
I am a comedian who engages on these
platforms. Are you a digital marketing professional?
Oh, now you're just being freaking snobby.
I have my bachelor's
of arts in communications. I know. I wrote my college thesis, my 50-page, tore my hair out college thesis on Facebook.
How many agents?
You're really trying to talk down to me about how much I know about social media platforms?
Shay, how many agency accounts do you have with Twitter and Facebook?
Agency accounts. Oh, again, you're just being pompous.
How many campaigns are you currently running on Twitter and Facebook right now?
I can't decide if I should use the big violin or the little one.
How much data are you harvesting from Facebook and Twitter and Google and everybody else right now? Do not sit here. And try and elevate yourself and try and call yourself an expert.
I'm not trying to call myself an expert.
Yes, you are.
I know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, you don't, because you do not have the depth of experience that I do with these platforms.
I'm not saying that I work.
This is what I do for a living.
Yeah, thanks.
Shay Spillane, my job is to understand how they work, is to understand how they operate, is to understand what they do.
Okay.
I get paid a lot of money for this.
All due respect. Acknowledging that.
Good.
It is also incredibly, incredibly insulting to assume that, not saying I know more than you,
That's what you're saying.
No, that is not at all what I said. I hope this is being recorded you can play it back and
yes,
be like, man, I sound like a jerk.
You're sitting there and you're saying, I know just as much about this as you do. Shay Spillane, no, you don't.
I did not say I know just as much about
this. That's exactly what you said.
No, that is not.
You don't get reaction from me without saying that.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw something at you. I said that I have an adequate and intellectual and educated amount of knowledge to the point, not above you, high master of all things social media, to the point that I at least know what the hell I'm talking about.
And I'm telling you.
In a sufficient amount that I can make this proper argument that is absolutely valid.
And I am telling you.
That's what I'm saying.
I am telling you that you do not. Because the
argument... Well, you're wrong, and you're being pompous.
Shay, the argument that you're making that Twitter and Facebook are somehow different is flatly incorrect.
You're freaking kidding me.
Factually incorrect.
No, it's actually factually entirely correct. They're two completely different ways of expressing oneself through social media. They have two completely... You're just discounting everything I say and saying, I do this as my day job, so this is why I'm smarter than you about this.
Their terms and conditions are almost identical. Their behind-the-scenes practices
are almost identical. They're not.
They are.
They're not.
They are.
They're not. They're not. I am a comedian. So, okay, you do this every day. Do you know how many people I've had get banned, like how many colleagues I've had get banned from Facebook or have to fight with Facebook or have to fight with Twitter or get banned from Twitter? Or you act as though you are treating me like a millennial, which I know you always call me, but I'm not some 17-year-old freaking dum-dum.
If you are fundamentally wrong about what you're talking about, I have to point that out.
I am not fundamentally wrong.
You are.
You are being pompous.
I'm not being pompous.
You are being incredibly pompous.
I am trying to explain.
And condescending. That's the word I was looking for.
No, I am trying to explain a gap in your knowledge. I'm trying to explain a gap in your knowledge.
I'm not saying I'm smarter than you in this. I'm saying that you shouldn't treat me like an idiot when I actually have. And you know what? The fun thing is, maybe I don't know as much from your perspective, but guess what? You don't know as much from mine.
Considering that I could get just about anybody unbanned from Twitter or Facebook or any of those things, yeah, I think I know from your perspective. I think I know more about this than you do. And if your position is going to be, well, I use it, therefore I know what's going on.
That's not what I said at all. I didn't say I use it and therefore I know what's going on. Actually, what I said was that I studied it for 4 years at a pretty good college, and being a comedian, have had many interactions with people both in front of and behind the scenes of each of these various social media platforms that gives me perhaps not a higher or more intellectual perspective than you, Derek, master of all that is social media, but perhaps a more eclectic and different angled one.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for what you know. You know this.
Oh, thank you.
But when you are...
That comes out after basically you are, calling me a blonde bimbo.
But when you are this far
off
the reservation...
My hair is red, dude.
When you are that far off the reservation, I can't let it go.
I'm not that... You construed my words as saying like, oh my God, nah, I know what I'm talking about.
Because
I have a Facebook account. That's basically what you implied. And that was not at all my intention, nor my message. My message was that they are different animals. I'm not saying they're not similar in many ways, but they're different animals. And the fact of the matter is that there's a reason that I... Speaking as a user, now I am just speaking as someone who has all these stupid freaking accounts. Speaking as a user, there's a reason I don't really use Twitter that much. Because it's a bunch of dum-dums trying to fit their idiot thoughts into 140 characters. Which is why it is adorable that he's even going through the trouble of trying to go after a bunch of Joe Nobodies for talking smack about him when he's a freaking senator. That was my point.
How do you think which, by the way, I don't buy that this happened, but if it did, how do you think the Facebook Russian influence campaign worked?
I have no idea what that has to do with this.
That has everything to do with this, because that's what he's talking about in this.
Like, the whole, like, oh, Russia, and then this, we're going to skew the advertiser, we're going to hide these posts and show these posts, and blah, 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 that.
What did Russia do in 2016?
In 2016, I don't remember. That was 3 years ago.
We've talked about this. Like, this is
refresh my memory. Then I'm sorry. I'm in a blind rage because you basically just called me an idiot. So
this is the whole
Mueller
investigation. This is the core of what this is about, Shay.
Okay, well, like, Derek, I'm sorry. You get me in a blind rage by basically calling me an idiot. So refresh my memory.
You
while I spin out of it.
Self into a blind rage, okay, because I said you had a knowledge gap. There's a difference there. Russia bought ads targeting users.
That's literally what I just said.
Correct? Yes.
I said Russia gearing advertisements, and then you said, this is what it's all...
They created,
you said it as though I didn't know what it was talking about, and
they,
I do.
They created accounts on both sides to try and suppress votes. I don't believe that they were successful.
That's literally what I just said.
Everyone in Washington, D.C. seems to believe that they were. So the answer to your question of what difference does it make if Joe Nobody is tweeting about Devin Nunes... is that Devin Nunes loses voters.
But again, you yourself, master of all things social media, that's what I'm going to call you from now on.
Ooh, fun.
Just said, oh, I'm going to say it sarcastically every time, though.
You can say it sarcastically all you want. It doesn't change reality.
As you just said, mostly discounted. Probably utter nonsense.
You yourself
just said that.
Yes, from my perspective, I think it's nonsense.
So do I.
However.
From my other slightly less a professional perspective.
And I agree with you, by the way, but in this Beltway world, they think this happened. This is why the Mueller investigation is still going on. They think Russia actually stole
the
election.
That's not the only reason the Mueller investigation is still going on, but yes, I agree that it is one of the reasons.
That's the basis of the whole Mueller investigation.
It's the basis, but you know, I mean... The basis of lots of investigations bring out a ton of other crap.
Well, yeah, but he's out trying to find whatever he can at this point.
But my point is, that being said, okay, so
let me.
You don't believe that Russia having fake profiles and buying advertising space and had anything to do with getting Trump elected, correct?
Based on Shay, come on.
Let me make a point.
Come on.
You got me off to make a point.
Let's be fair. Let me give the correct answer to this. You've asked me a question, all right? I should be allowed to give you a fair answer. Based on their advertising spend and knowing what I know about how much reach they could get with that advertising spend, no, I don't believe it had any impact at all.
Okay. Nor do I. And I truly believe that pains me as it does that Trump got elected completely independently of that.
Yeah.
I think it had absolutely nothing to do with that. So with that thought in mind, that we both agree that that had nothing to do with Trump getting elected, shouldn't it also apply that if if Nunez, wow, I get mad, sorry. If Nunez, calming down. If Nunez does not get reelected because of this whole thing on Twitter, or if Nunez does not get reelected, it will not be because of this whole thing on Twitter. That's my point. So if the whole Russian thing in 2016 is not the reason Trump got elected, then we cannot blame this on him not getting reelected.
That is very possibly correct.
Oh, God, you called me right.
That is very possibly correct. However,
if I'm winded in a moment, it's going to be because I did a victory lap around our air studio.
However, what we think about this and what he thinks about this are two different things, and perception is reality in this case.
He just sounds dumb,
if it is his... And one of the things that's interesting about this is there's a lot of debate right now over whether or not shadow banning is even a real thing. Everybody on the right seems to think it is. Everybody at Twitter and on the left says that's nonsense. There have been journalists that have dug into this and said, yeah, we think this is actually going on over there, that a lot of conservatives are simply being delisted. And they're having their posts banned.
Well,
having their posts suppressed. There was a case today where someone had posted something, and Twitter, as long as he was logged into his account, Twitter made it look like the post was live, but none of his followers could read it. And when they tried to access it, it said, this post has been deleted. And he subsequently reached out to Twitter and said, what the heck is this? It was a conservative who had posted a transcript of some congressional testimony. And Twitter finally got back to him and said, oh, every now and again, our algorithm makes a mistake. Sorry. And when I say that Twitter and Facebook are the same, this is the same garbage that we get from both of those platforms.
Well, and I'm not saying that they don't have...
I'm not saying
they don't have very similar business models and tactics and practices.
The way they run and the way they behave are identical. The actual form that the content takes is different. But the way that they run and the way that they behave are identical.
I don't know if identical is a fair word, but...
Facebook has a better database. I will give them credit for
that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they're not similar. I'm saying that they are at their foundation, or not at their foundation perhaps, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty, they are different animals, as was my point when I started yelling and getting red eyes
faced. Actually, foundationally, they're nearly identical because Google and
that's
Facebook,
why I changed it from foundationally, because I knew you would jump all over that.
Because Facebook and Google were both built by Sheryl Sandberg, and Twitter built off of what Sheryl Sandberg did to create their platform. They all take different formats and they all serve slightly different purposes. But in terms of their basic function and in terms of their code of conduct and their community guidelines, they're pretty damn close. If anything, Twitter gets a little bit more benefit of the doubt because Jack Dorsey seems to be trying to fix it. But at the same time, I'm Team Nunez on this. I'm 100% Team Nunez on this. I think...
Oh, you know, it makes me sad. We've been agreeing a lot lately, and right now I just want to throw something at you.
Listen, I think you need the lawsuit, if only, to get a look at how Twitter...
I mean, I guess to set some sort of precedent.
If only to get a look at whether or not Twitter is, in fact, shadow banning people. If only to figure out what the process is for people who are posting libel to be removed from that platform. And a lawsuit will achieve that. I think it's sad that a member of Congress, who is a lawmaker, who ought to be able to fix this on his own, has to go to the courts to do it. That's what's sad here.
Oh, goodness. I forgot what topic we were even on. Global news. Would prefer not to talk about this, but this is what we're going to do. The suspect accused of carrying out Friday's terror attack in Christchurch, New Zealand, was likely on his way to carry out a third shooting before he was stopped by authorities, according to New Zealand's top police official. 50 people were killed when a gunman opened fire inside two mosques last week. According to CNN, authorities have charged Brenton Tarrant, a 28-year-old Australian man, with murder in connection with the incident, but more charges are expected against both him and others. Police Commissioner Mike Bush said this morning that authorities absolutely believe they stopped the suspect on the way to a further attack. All those involved in the investigation have declined to go further into detail as to not traumatize others or interfere with the investigation.
From the New York Times. Have you got more? I don't want to cut you off.
No.
From the New York Times. I must raise the question of, what if news happened and no one bothered to cover it? The New Zealand attack. This is the New York Times. This is our paper of record. This is our this is the most respected newspaper in the United States.
This is our
States.
Bible in terms of news.
This is one of the if there is such a thing as a global newspaper of record for the English-speaking world, it is probably the New York Times. The New Zealand attack posed new challenges for journalists. Here are the decisions the Times made. Did you watch the video, Shay?
Mm.
Yeah, I watched the video as well. Not out of morbid curiosity, but because it is a primary source. And because what we do here on this show is a form of journalism. And when you have a primary source, you have an obligation to engage with that primary source. I did not watch the whole thing. I watched enough of it to know that I didn't need to see him driving around in his car shooting more people. And it gave me nightmares.
And that's, I'm sorry. The people that listen to us often know that it's very rare that I get choked up on the radio. And also, I mean, I talk constantly about how interested in crime scenes I am, and my dad was an undertaker. What up, Dad? I don't really have, those things don't really affect me as much as most people, typically. It's
horrific. It's every bit as horrific as you would imagine it to be. And as I said, it gave me nightmares.
That's the thing. And you're as strong a person as me, but you know what I mean? We're always able to kind of remove ourselves from it, you know?
I don't get nightmares. I don't get nightmares.
I can't, like, it. Well, and especially beyond even the footage of it happening is just, what broke my heart was seeing the interviews of the people who survived.
Yeah.
Just saying, there was this one girl that, like, really, it just, like, punched me in the gut. Where she looked like maybe she was, like, 5 years younger than me, but she just said, I don't understand. We weren't doing anything wrong. We were just minding our own business, like, worshiping the God we believe in. Like, we weren't bothering anybody. And that's really what got to me was just, you think about, it kind of encapsulates all of these things that keep happening, especially increasingly over the last decade, it's always the people who are just going about their daily lives. Like, I mean, I think back to when we were at TKK and the Aurora Theater shooting happened. Those were just a bunch of people that felt like going to the first showing of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, they were thinking they were going to have, like, a cute whatever night out. And I'm not trying to compare going to see Dark Knight Rises to worshiping in a mosque.
Right.
But I'm saying it's just another example of, this is just people living their lives.
Well, this is the battleground now. This is the battlefront. The battlefront is wherever you worship, wherever you eat, wherever you go to school, wherever you go to be entertained. The people who are fighting ideological wars are going to use you as collateral damage to get their message out there. Which brings me to this piece from the New York Times. The killing of 50 people in New Zealand last week seems to be the most extreme example of a mass shooter using the internet as part of his arsenal of destruction and hate. We look at how this affected our calculations and how to cover the attack. Already, we're in trouble. All right? Already we're in trouble with this. But Sadly, the Times has covered a lot of shootings, but the killing of 50 people at mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand on Friday by a gunman intent on using the tools of the internet as weapons in his fight raised a number of new issues for our newsroom. I am going to immediately challenge you on the idea that the internet is a weapon in his fight. Okay? Yes, he live streamed the attack. Doesn't matter. If he had not live streamed the attack, we would still be talking about this. Okay? That happened to be another way of getting his message out. I don't think it was a de facto weapon as such. But this underpins a lot of what's gone wrong with the coverage and the response to this. In the aftermath of the attack, we sat down with some of our top editors who make the difficult calls about how to cover the news without inadvertently glorifying a killer or becoming a pawn in his game. This piece that you are writing, New York Times, shows that you were a pawn in his game.
Yeah.
If you had simply...
I would say the simple fact that you're actually engaging in this.
If you had simply covered the story, posted the video, posted the manifesto, presented the facts, and walked away, you would have done your jobs. You would have been journalists. Everybody goes home. No, no, no. We're worried about being pawns in his game.
You just became one.
So in other words, Shea Spillane, the New York Times, the newspaper of record for the English-speaking world, was outsmarted by a 28-year-old Australian sociopath. You better get some people down at the Times who understand journalism and how to do the job. Here's a look at some of the issues our journalists have been sorting through. Please leave additional questions or feedback for them in the comments. What made this story unusual? You know what's great about this?
Oh, God, that I really didn't think that I'd find anything to laugh about when talking about this, but here we are.
You know what's great about this? This is kind of written in the same format as Barton Tarrant's manifesto. What made this story unusual? The shooter strapped a camera to his forehead to stream a live video on Facebook as he gunned down dozens of people who had gathered to pray. He teased his act on Twitter, announced it on the online message board 8chan, and appeared to have posted a 74-page manifesto online. Appeared to have posted is incorrect. He posted a 74-page manifesto online. I've read it. It is poorly written. It is...
Shocker. You mean he's not a Rhodes Scholar?
It has been misrepresented by the media. Kevin Roos, a Times columnist who writes about the intersection of technology, business, and culture, told Michael Barbaro on The Daily on Monday morning, quote, "It set this shooting up as almost an internet performance, like it was native to the internet and it was born out of and aimed into this culture of extremely concentrated internet radicalism." I don't know where this extremely concentrated internet radicalism lives. I certainly haven't come across it. Maybe we're talking about sites like Stormfront. I don't know. It would be nice to have an explanation of what you're saying here. In many ways, the attack unfolded online just as the gunman seemed to have planned. The video is widely available on sites like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. This is... again, you're stretching the truth of what happened here.
I was going to say, Facebook actually has issued an apology for even allowing it.
200 people watched the live stream on Facebook. It was then reposted by other people 1.5 million times on YouTube. YouTube's algorithm stopped 1.2 million postings of it. And by the way, YouTube, I'll give you this tip because this is going to happen. Someone is going to take the 2 minutes of this thing that are the worst 2 minutes, and they are going to cut it into Peppa Pig videos and post it to the kids' channel.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do now. So keep your eyes out for that before you get dragged in the media again.
It's just like when somebody's trying to post like a Jay-Z song or Whitney Houston song and they put just like three seconds of blah, 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 yeah, at the beginning, because then it's not technically copyright infringement.
On message boards, commenters discussed saving the video so it could be later uploaded on other sites if necessary. "There is no doubt," this is a quote, "in my mind that this guy was very aware of how his video and his manifesto would filter through the internet and get refracted and picked up and analyzed," Kevin said. "This was, in a way, engineered for internet virality." That is a fair and true statement. I will not argue with that statement at all. I think this guy is trying to publicize his cause. He is trying to inspire other people to action.
I would say, yeah, you don't do that if you want to make a quiet statement.
He is a student of Anders Breivik, the Norway gunman, and very possibly someone who's read the Turner Diaries. The manipulation of technology and use of online social platforms to document the killings, publicize them, and try to inspire others to imitate them pose significant ethical challenges for our journalists running the coverage. Michael Slackman, our international editor, called this an extreme corruption of a form of communication that was once promoted and viewed as a means of uniting people and advancing democratic values. Quote, instead you have someone who designed a horrific terrorist attack using all of the power of social media and the internet to spread his vile views, he said. So for us, it was how do you cover it in that context? How do we understand it and explain it? And how do we avoid becoming the tools of a terrorist? In the case of the New York Times, it seems to be, oh, we don't talk about it. And that seems to be the reaction that most of the media has had. We're not going to talk about it because it makes us uncomfortable. Because we think we're being played here.
Oh, this makes you uncomfortable? What about... I mean, it's getting to the point where... I mean, that's just an absurd statement.
Yes.
Like, I mean, if anything... We've talked on this show so many times about how the prevalence of this sort of behavior, of this sort of act, has kind of desensitized. Like I said, like this is the first time, I'd say in at least 3 or 4 years, that an attack like this has actually like really, like I said, punched me in the gut.
Yeah.
Like it, and that's not me being insensitive to the victims of the hundreds of other things that have of this nature that have happened over the past couple of years. This is just it's a matter of I'm like every time I open the newspaper I'm just like, okay, what fresh hell do we have today? And with something that used to be so unheard of, with something that maybe not unheard of, but used to be like once every 15 years right. Something like this would happen. Now it's like once every 15 days.
Yeah, inevitably, the copycats are going to come faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
And I said the media is misrepresenting this and it's so as not to be guilty of what I accuse other journalists of. You have probably heard from multiple media outlets, because it has been picked up everywhere, that Barton Tarrant described Donald Trump as a symbol of renewed white identity. This is true. This is actually something that he wrote in the manifesto. Unfortunately, it is not the full statement. And when you take it out of context, you misrepresent it.
It means something different, yeah.
The question, he sets the whole thing up as questions and answers. And the question is, where are you a supporter of Donald Trump? This is Barton Tarrant interviewing himself in case he dies. That's what this manifesto really is. This is why I did it, what I hope to achieve, yada, yada.
Yeah. Like, just so you guys aren't asking a bunch of questions after they catch me.
Where are you a supporter of Donald Trump? As a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose? Sure. As a policymaker and leader? Dear God, no. So he is not a supporter of Donald Trump. He thinks Donald Trump is a clown. But he sees Donald Trump as the white savior. That, you know, white America, this myth that white America is somehow, you know, on this. And look, Trump is a populist. Populists tend to be the majority in a country. This is a majority white country. There are connections there. And there is some truth to that, but it is not the whole truth. Just as the media insinuating that Tarrant is a Trump supporter because he saw him as, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity. When he goes on in the next sentence to say, as a policymaker and leader, dear God, no. He is not a supporter of Donald Trump. He is not a believer in Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And any media outlet that is trying to tell you that is lying to you.
Yeah, like he...
They're lying by omission.
I was going to say, he makes it very, very known that he's not a supporter of Donald Trump, other than what he may represent in terms of his own beliefs.
Yeah.
Having nothing to do with actually supporting.
Now, we find ourselves pressed for time on this, and I can't rush this. I have to let this breathe. We're going to have to come back to this. I want to deal specifically with the video, first of all, and whether or not the video should be available. And when I say available, I don't mean posted on YouTube. I don't mean posted on LiveLeak. I don't mean shared on Facebook. I mean there is a website that you can go to and you can look at the video. I believe 100% that the video should be available online. And I believe it should be available online as a primary source so that you can look at it if you choose to and understand what is there. And also as a check on our news media and on our government. I've read varying accounts of the video. And you probably...
I'm trying to find it again.
This is
just out of curiosity.
This is going to be upsetting. Okay, so if you need to get up and walk away, this is your warning. This is going to be an upsetting moment from this. And Shay, I apologize because I know that this is not fun for... It's not fun for me either.
It's not fun for anybody.
We don't enjoy... Don't think we sit here and enjoy this because this is
We're doing our jobs.
Yeah, this is informing you and letting you know
we're
as still, well.
Well, that's the thing is we speak so cavalierly. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to say we speak so, not cavalierly, but so matter-of-factly about these things.
Yeah.
That doesn't discount the fact that Derek and I are also human beings who are impacted by things like this.
This is devastating. This man is a monster and a nightmare. And you know, if this is the next level in where we've gone, then we've got to figure out a way to rewind very quickly. But I've seen at least one outlet represent the idea that someone charged Mr. Tarrant in the... You only see the attack in the first mosque.
Yeah.
And I have seen one outlet represent that a man charged at him to try and stop him. If you have seen the video, you know this is not the case.
True. He very casually walks up to the mosque.
A man... Well, this is later. This is after the first round.
Yeah.
After the first round of shootings, there is a man who tries to run past him to get out of the mosque.
Oh, yeah.
And he is still fully, you know, he's still got plenty of bullets left, and he shoots the man as he is trying to get past him. Mm. So it's not a case of the man was trying to jump on him, or the man was trying to get away.
Yeah.
So that, and this is not the other guy. This is not the guy at the second mosque that threw the credit card machine at him and dragged him out and had him chased around the parking lot and all that sort of stuff. This is at the first mosque. That detail that has been presented is inaccurate. This is why the video should be online. Because if the only evidence that you have as an individual is an account from a media organization or an account from a government agency, when a primary source is available, then you cannot be certain you are getting the truth. If the primary source is available, then you can go and look for yourself.
Yeah, you can just go and get your own opinion about it.
Same thing with...
Not even your own opinion, just your own... Your first, basically first person perspective.
Yes. And
or as close as one can get to.
And to the extent that people are able, I recommend reading primary sources. Read Supreme Court decisions. Don't take my word for it. Read proposed laws. Don't take my word for it. Because when those things come out, I read them. I read Supreme Court decisions. I read proposed laws. I read press releases and all this stuff that's put out there so that I can understand what's being said. I read the Green New Deal, which is why I came in here and said the Green New Deal is ridiculous. And it looks like it was written by a 12-year-old because we can't get rid of the farting cows, among other things. It is.
I love that we were arguing like 8 minutes ago and now we're both on the brink of tears.
What is happening with this is wholesale censorship on the part of the news media and government because they don't want you to see what happened. They don't want you to read his manifesto because why? Because their arguments are going to be one of two things. Number one, we do not want to participate in his campaign to recruit you, which
is utter absurdity.
Yeah,
like they act as though like your average person will watch it and be like, hey, he's got some good ideas.
Yeah.
It really seems like this illiterate dum-dum is really making a difference by shooting up multiple religious institutions.
Yeah, trust me.
I was just a normal person yesterday, but hey, get me an AK-47 now that I've seen this.
This guy's got a point about fertility rates and Muslims. let's get all those people out of this country.
And I totally like his blonde hair.
Yeah. This guy is a sociopath, okay? At the end of the day, that's what he is.
Yeah, you don't just randomly flip a switch and become a sociopath. You are just a sociopath if you're a sociopath.
Now, if we're going to ask the question of what is more dangerous, is it our government and our media, or is it sociopaths?
That's a fun riddle.
There are far fewer sociopaths in the world. And when you come to the other argument that they're going to make is that we need to protect the public. And I will grant you this. I will grant you that there are people who under no circumstances should view this video. Okay? Shay and I are both sitting here upset.
Yeah.
And have been upset for several days.
And we're people who are used to looking at stuff like this.
Yeah. We've seen...
Not necessarily used to looking at this, but used to this... Yeah. Having to expose ourselves for the sake of the craft or whatever you want to call it.
Seen some stuff over the years.
We've seen some crap go down.
Yeah. And some people just simply would not be able to handle this.
Like, I shiver. Like, I've been shivering since Friday.
And here's the thing.
Not because I'm cold.
If you want to put this video online and you want to put it behind a password and you want to make me...
Or with a disclaimer or something.
And no, if you want to put it behind a password and I have to give you my email to access it, fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Put me in your database. Keep track of everything I do. I have no problem with that. All I want is it to be available on demand to people who want to see it, to act as a check against our governments and a check against our media. Because having it online keeps them honest. Having it online prevents them from saying, well, it's this.
Well, this is what happened. No, I can look at this and say that you're wrong because I have the primary source on this subject.
Exactly. This is a situation where you don't need the media if you have the mental ability to access the source material. If you don't have the mental ability to handle it, if you don't want to watch it, if it scares you...
Then you don't have to.
Then what you need is somebody who has seen it to tell you, this is what it is. And to say it to you, fully secure in the knowledge that we know if we get it wrong, somebody out there can call us out. Somebody can be like, that's not what happened. You're lying about that. Or you're misrepresenting that.
I would say, like, anytime something like this happens, like, my mom really doesn't, not that anyone likes things like this, but my mom is really not, like, she just kind of goes la 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 la. But when it's something important, it's just like you just said, she knows that I will have gotten all the information I could possibly get about it, and just says, so what really happened here? And then I can tell her because I watched all the primary source information about it, or read all the primary source information about it, or, you know, and it is, I totally agree with you that it's a disservice to not allow us or not give us at least the ability, if we'd like to see this. Because, and not that I'm not like, ooh, like you said, it's not like I'm it's not like a bloodlust. It's not
We're not ghouls.
Yeah. Like, I'm not like, ooh, yeah, show me murder. It's more just like, I'd really, in situations like this, I know I will never understand the person's thought process, but I would like to understand exactly what happened, just for my own peace of mind, just to be able to properly, as much as a non-sociopathic, psychopathic person can, wrap my brain around what happened.
In a free society, which we claim to be, you should have the right to access to primary sources. So that if you have questions about what you are being told, if you have questions about what has been done, if you have questions about the sources who are giving you information, you can go back to the primary source and see for yourself.
Exactly.
And understand who is being honest with you and who is being straight with you and who is not.
That's why library class in sixth grade, I remember the librarian saying, primary sources, name of the game. I have held on to that.
And this is not to say that we don't all bring our own personal bias and perspectives into these things. But those of us who take journalism seriously are going to try and give you the most unbiased, unfiltered version of primary sources as we possibly can.
Amen.
We're not done with this. And we're going to have to come back to this next week.
Yeah, we are.
I wish we didn't, but there are so many more dimensions of this to get into.
Seriously.
But We still have to talk about happy things. So we're going to close out.
We do. I was going to say, please.
We're going to close out the show with happy things right after this. This is
both
WMFO.
Both of mine are happy.
This is WMFO Medford.
Hey, everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture, and we're going to leave you on a high note. Right now, we're going to tell you what's hot. It's our favorite thing from the past or coming week. For me, since 2014, Northeast Can has been the home of the New England cannabis industry, consistently producing the largest gatherings of cannabis, MMJ, and hemp industry professionals in the Northeast. Lucky for you, their annual Boston event is this weekend. It's going to be at the Heinz Convention Center. If you live in Boston, you know where that is. It's a three-day event that will feature 350 or so exhibitors, four programming tracks with 100-plus speakers, and over 10,000 people attending. There's, like, with how we just got recreational cannabis on sale in Massachusetts, this is absolutely going to be the biggest one. There's going to be so many speakers, it's going to be unbelievable. But if you want to get more information, the best site I found to figure out how you can go, they actually have a coupon. You can go to 10thedigits10times.com/cannabis-conventions.
Nice.
And they have a coupon that will get you in for cheaper than you'd normally pay.
Starting tonight and continuing through Sunday. At the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, the Boston Underground Film Festival is back.
Oh, yay! I love that.
To bring the most bizarre, outrageous, and shocking cinema from all over the world that they can get their hands on.
Dude, I'm totally going.
And share it with you. Now, I am a former part of the Boston Underground Film Festival crew.
I'm
a former member of the selection committee. I was deeply involved in the festival for a couple of years. If you are looking for really goofball, off-the-wall, outrageous film that you are not going to find anywhere else, this is the one for you. BostonUnderground.org is their website. BostonUnderground.org. I will warn you, this is not for the kids at all. In any way, shape, or form. This is not for the kids.
No, it is not. I have been a few times and yeah.
This is where you go to see movies, like, and say, how the hell did that happen?
Like, even the Jim Henson retrospective I went to with the Brattle, I was like, I mean, it's lots of Muppets, but still, I don't think I'd bring a kid to this.
So it is not for kids. But if you are an adult who is into off-the-wall films, extreme filmmaking, people who are pushing the envelope, go check it out. BostonUnderground.org. BostonUnderground.org tonight through Sunday at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Last but not least, here on The Big Picture, we're going to tell you that's the thing that happened, which is the craziest news story that we found this past week. For me, mine is crazy, but also just like adorable. Guess what state it's out of?
Florida.
Aw, you're such a good guesser. A group of prisoners out doing community service rescued a baby trapped inside a car by breaking into it. I know. The inmates helped free tearful one-year-old Dallas Lantry after she became stuck in the family SUV when her dad locked the keys in by mistake. Her mom said that her husband put the daughter in the car seat and threw the keys in the front so that he could strap her in. When he closed the back door, he realized that the Chevy Tahoe had locked automatically. Luckily, they were parked at the courthouse in Newport Richey, Florida, and her panicked parents called on the help of nearby policemen. He was supervising a group of inmates who were fixing the car park and realized that he probably knew some men who could help. A group of the low-risk offenders raced over to help free the little girl. Only took 2 minutes to get inside.
Yeah.
One of the men got with permission from the sheriff, broke into the car using a wire hanger to free the mechanism, which was precisely what he was being incarcerated for. The mother, who was watching and filming the entire action, you guys should look this up. It's adorable and hilarious. But she thought it was so funny to just watch the inmates and police work together in the exact thing the guy was arrested for.
Oh, you knew that, Joy Pops?
She was like, it's not funny that my baby got locked in the car, but literally everything else about it was. But I love this. It was like, hey, I think you're good at this.
Australia. A pilot at Flight Training Adelaide, a school for flight instruction, had to break in a new engine on a plane at a specific power setting. Not the most exciting task, so he programmed a flight